So what we're going to do the next 3 weeks is we're going to talk about ways to create sacred moments in your life. And this is the book I'm kind of using as the base for this, but and you can look at it afterwards and see if it's something you want to get. I can't get a good deal on ordering them, so if you like it, you can get it from Amazon, and I'll let you take a look at it.
How much is it?
I don't remember.
$14.95.
Okay.
Thank you.
So anyway, but you can take a look at that afterwards. But let me start with why we're doing this. All right. In the Middle Ages is when most of what we think of as spiritual disciplines started. And I've done a small place class before on the spiritual disciplines, but just to kind of refresh and review, things like contemplative prayer, Lectio Divina, which is holy reading, prayer beads or other kinds of manual prayer, journaling, these are the kind of hospitality. These are the spiritual disciplines that are ancient. And if you get any book at all on spiritual disciplines, they'll have basically the same ones. You know, Lectio Divina, contemplative prayer, fixed hour prayer, those kinds of things, right? And they almost all started in the Middle Ages. And they were perfectly designed to bring the presence of God into the regular daily life of the people. All right? You didn't have to go out of your way to do the spiritual discipline. You just tweaked what you were already doing. So, for example, let's take contemplative prayer, which is kind of in silence listening to God, right? And just kind of thinking about what God is doing. Well, if you're living a life where light is expensive and heat is expensive, particularly in the winter, from the time the sun goes down until the time the sun comes up, there's really nothing you can do. Most people couldn't afford enough light to light their homes well enough to be able to do anything. You couldn't do any kind of work that required being able to see. So you had hours and hours where you could do contemplative prayer or meditation if you wanted to, because there was nothing else you could do. Or if you were a woman, you had to knead bread. You had to pick rows of vegetables, right? Things that were repetitive that you could turn into a time for prayer. Fixed hour prayer worked really well because the sun came up and you could tell when the sun came up and you could say your prayers when the sun came up, the sun went down. You could say your prayers when the sun went down. Those were really the beginning and end of the day. There was nothing before and nothing after. If you were able to read, Lectio Divina was a really good practice because most people who were able to read maybe only had the Bible in their home. Books were expensive, so if you were a regular person who was able to read, you wouldn't have a library of books. You might have two, and one of them would be the Bible. And so reading a small portion of the Bible really deeply was something that fit into your life. Right? Well, none of those things fit into our lives anymore, right? We don't have long stretches of time with nothing to do. We have the opposite problem. We have too much to do and not enough time to do it in. Sunrise and sunset are no longer the beginnings and ends of our day. You know, the sun goes down and we turn on the lights and keep going, right?
In the morning we wake up to the alarm.
And we don't have one book. I have access on my Kindle to more books than were in the library in Alexandria, right? For relatively no money. So our lives have completely changed, and so the ways to bring sacred into our lives, the ancient things don't work anymore. To do the ancient spiritual disciplines require us to change our lives. And that's not what they were intended to do. They were intended to be able to bring God into your life as you were living it. So what we're going to look at is different ways to bring the holy into our daily life. Now, not all of these are going to work for everybody. And as we talk about them, you may have other ideas of things that would work particularly for you or that you want to try. Nobody does all of these things. And you shouldn't, because it would make you crazy. But pick one that seems interesting to you and give it a try. And this is a good time to talk about it, because it's New Year's and New Year's resolutions, and we're all adding stuff, right? So just to start with, something that we all go to bed, right? So one of the things that you can add into your life is something called bedtime blessings. Now, there is no particular way to do this. You can just say prayers when you go to bed, and that picks up the old idea of fixed hour prayer. But particularly if you live in a household with other people, one of the things you can do, and particularly if you have children, one of the things you can add into your daily routine is giving your children or the people you live with a blessing at bedtime. And that can be asking God to bless them. It can be reflecting with them on a way that they have been a blessing to you during the day. Or if you don't want to do that, or if you don't live in a house with other people, you can reflect at bedtime on the blessings you've had throughout the day. Where have you been blessed this day? And if you can't think of a way you've been blessed, then that's something you can talk to God about. Well, hey, why didn't I get a blessing today? And maybe, you know, maybe beginning to think about it. But doing it every day pulls the idea of gratitude into your life. And the end of the day is a good time to do that. Like I said, everybody goes to bed. So, and doctors tell us that it's really very good when you're trying to sleep to take some time to try to kind of calm down and decompress and be away from your screen. So this is something that, you know, requires that you do that. So let me stop there and say, does this make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the other things that that you can do either at bedtime or in the morning when you get up is just a thank you for the day. To just say thank you to God for the day that you've had, thank you for God for the day that's unfolding before you. Those are very different spiritual practices. Saying thank you for things that have happened is tangible gratitude, right? Now, having to remember what you want to be thankful for is a good practice. It draws you into gratitude. Being grateful for things that haven't happened yet is a different spiritual practice, and that's a mindset change. It's the idea that there are going to be things today that I'm going to be grateful for. And we often don't think that way, right? We just think, well, the day's going to be the day, and maybe I'll be grateful for some stuff, and maybe I won't, but...
I've gotten into the age where I'm grateful that my eyes are open. And I'm still here, right? And I'm another
And you can get up in the morning.
And I can get out of bed.
But that's, we all have... plans for the day and things mm-hmm. that we want to accomplish, mm-hmm. you know, and that's always, you know, in our minds. But I never thought about being grateful mm-hmm. for, say it again,
for whatever is going to happen today, okay. I'm going to be grateful.
So you're not thinking of specific things, you're just saying, you know, mm-hmm. whatever might happen.
And. Okay.
But how about being grateful for helping her accomplish this,
sure.
and this, because I have to get them done?
Sure, and that's a different kind of prayer. That's intercessory prayer. And that's certainly appropriate, asking God for help with the things that you know you're going to have mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. The trickier spiritual discipline is, Lord, help me see your presence and your grace in everything that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's easy when things are going well, mm-hmm. right? Finding God's presence and grace in the flat tire is harder. And like all disciplines, they require discipline, right? You don't start, if you're a runner, you don't start with marathons. You start with 2 minutes of running, and you build it up. The same thing is true with the spiritual disciplines. And one of the things that we do is we beat ourselves up, right? Because we think, oh, I'm going to start this and it's going to be great. Well, anyone who started any physical activity can tell you, it's not great when it first starts. It often sucks when it first starts, because you're using your muscles in a different way and it hurts. I've tried a couple of times to learn to play golf, and I frustrate myself because I'm not good at it, and I think I should be good at it, and I'm not.
Take lessons from
I can so relate to this.
So the same thing is true with spiritual disciplines. You start them and you think, I'm going to have this great relationship with God. It's going to change my life. And often the first times you do them, it's just annoying. And you don't really feel any different at the end of it. But it's the practice of it and the building it into your life that changes your spiritual mindset in the way that physical exercise changes your body. Right? It doesn't happen all at once. It happens over time.
Is the Serenity Prayer appropriate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you want to recite it? Do you remember?
Prayer, so you Serenity Prayer. I have it on a little plaque.
Is it in the Book of Common Prayer?
No, it's...
It comes out of the recovery tradition, out of the 12 steps.
My parents were alcoholics, okay. And my mother was a recovering alcoholic and very active in the 12-step program. And the Serenity Prayer was all over my house, I think, on every mirror, about accepting... And I use it to say, accepting what God is going to put in my path today. Mm-hmm. And because I tend to be a control freak, learning what I can control or have some affect on and effect on, and learning what I can't. And the wisdom to know the difference, that's the basis of
it. The prayer goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
And I miss it a lot during the day, because there's just, I had an incident over this holiday where I came home from my son's house, and I just had this anxiety attack, and it finally came to the point where I'm asking, what triggered this? Well, he's a grown son, he has his own family. I have no control over anything that goes on in that house. You know, so God, just grant me serenity to accept their lifestyle and be thankful and feel blessed and not freak out about it.
So yes, and that reminder that there are things I can change.
Right.
And there are things I cannot change. And to differentiate between those, and it works both ways, right?
Yes.
The wisdom to know that this is something I can't change, and the grace to accept what I can't change, but also raise up for me those things I can change, even if I don't think I can, and give me the courage to effect the change that I can. So yeah, that's a perfect example. And a lot of people have those on that prayer on plaques, like by their door.
Yes.
If you pick up the...
In the visor of my car.
Yeah. If you pick up the brochure on Epiphany at Home that's in the church, one of the things that it has is a prayer about chalking the doors for Epiphany. This is an old tradition. It's a very ancient tradition. That's done at Epiphany, and it's blessing people's homes at Epiphany is something that we do. But the Feast of the Epiphany and then the Season of the Epiphany is about carrying the light of Christ out into the world. And so the old tradition is to chalk above the main entrance or exit of your house you start with the first part of the year, so this year it would be 20. Mm. And then you add a C for Casper at a plus sign, an M for Melchior and a plus sign, and a B for Balthazar and a plus sign, and then the second number of the year, so again 20 this year. So, and this is in the brochure if you want to pick it up, but it says 20 plus C plus M plus B plus 20. And what the reminder is, and there's a prayer that goes with it that you say when you put the chalk on your door, and you do it in chalk so it's not permanent. But the point is to remind you that you should always be seeking God, and that sometimes that might mean a journey, like for the kings, right? So to remind you of the kings and their journey, that this year I'm going to seek God in whatever that journey looks like. So that's one of the Epiphany traditions. And there's a prayer that you can say that bless everyone who comes in and out of your house, but you do it at the entrance to remind you when you leave the house of what you're doing. That's the same reason some people put the Serenity Prayer by the entrance to their house, to remind them as they go out into the world. So picking up, continuing then on the theme of gratitude, there's a lot of different ways to reflect on things that you're grateful for. One of the things you can do is have a little container and little pieces of paper, or I use half index cards sometimes when I do this, and just write down on the index card something you're grateful for every day. Fold it up and put it in the container. And then once a month, read.
Should these be different things every day?
Depends on what you're grateful for that day.
Because, for example, one can be grateful for the blessings of having good, loving friends and relatives. Mm-hmm. But that's a continual thing that... Mm-hmm.
And that might be the same thing, you know, 4 or 5 days in the course of a month. And then just at the end of the month, read all the notes. Or even some of my friends, their New Year's Eve tradition is they don't read them until New Year's Eve. And then they go back and read a whole year worth of what they're grateful for. So it depends kind of on the attention span of people in your homes. If you have small children in your homes, or if you don't have a very long attention span, a year might be too much. You might need to remind yourself at the end of the week or at the end of the month what you've been grateful for. But it's a way to remember, because we tend to forget, right? We take blessings for granted, and we forget all of the stuff that we're grateful for. So that's a way to bring being grateful into your life. And again, it's a discipline to, at the end of every day, stop and think about what you're grateful for. And then it's also a discipline to read the...
You could do that in a diary, kind of a book.
Mm-hmm. You could do it in a diary, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In a book if you want to. So the reflecting is also... Mm-hmm. a discipline to remind yourself. A flip side of that is to have a box with cards with words on it like love, joy, peace, grace, kindness, other things you want to look for in the world, and to pick a card out of the box and carry it around for the day. And if you draw a card that has the word peace on it, look for ways to, where you see peace, look for ways to bring peace mm-hmm. into the world. Look for ways that you can be a messenger of peace. And then put the card back in the box and draw a different one mm-hmm. the next day. So that's something you can do all through the year. And it brings you a different lens to your day, right? Because I'm not going to do anything different, but if I'm looking for joy consciously, I'm more likely to find it. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly the same human neurological response that if I tell you not to think about pink elephants, all you'll be able to think about is pink elephants, because now that's in your head. It works in the same principle, that if you're looking for something, you're more likely to find it. So that's particularly if in your spiritual struggle there are things you're having a hard time finding in the world, put more of those names in the box. It's really easy for me to find things that need to be changed, so I don't need, you know, I don't need to put injustice in my box, because I'm really good at seeing injustice. I'm not always good at doing something about it, but I'm really good at seeing it. So the flip side is I need to put the word justice in my box, because I'm not as good at seeing that. So think of, reflect a little bit on what do you need to work on?
How would you compare looking for versus trying to help generate it? You know, like bringing joy to other people in love and so forth, rather than just looking for it out there.
Rather than just looking for it, yeah. And you can certainly do both,
yeah,
right?
Right.
You can certainly do both.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you're thinking about joy, mm-hmm, you're more likely to see opportunities, mm-hmm, to create joy for others, yeah, than if you're just going about your life. What all of these things have in common is bringing a consciousness, mm-hmm, of what you're looking for to your life. And so these are all just, you know, spiritual practices. They don't require you to make a major change in your life, just to be conscious of what's already happening around you and the way that you are interacting with the world around you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. What I'm concerned about is the active versus the passive.
Right.
Don't just look for it, but try to generate it.
Right.
So.
Yes. And again, where that balance sits for you depends on, right, where you are in the discipline and also the kind of personality that you are.
Sure.
One of the problems that we have, I think, as a church is that we tend to say that everything should work for everybody. And newsflash, it doesn't. Right? We're all different people. And so there are different things that speak to us in different ways. Mm-hmm. Something that I find really, really helpful, you may find incredibly annoying. When I was first ordained, I went on a retreat with a bunch of other kind of young clergy at that point. And we asked a bishop to come and be our retreat leader. And he said something that he meant very sincerely. He said, the daily office is the anchor of our faith. What he meant was, you know, something that holds us in place and keeps us steady. And he walked out of the room, and all of the young clergy started laughing, because what we all heard was, the daily office, the thing that pulls you to the bottom of the ocean. Because we were finding it all very difficult, the daily office very difficult and very annoying and not particularly speaking to us. So, you know, and the similar thing, some leader somewhere was talking about formation, the Christian formation, the thing that makes you, like a potter forms clay, you know, the thing that makes you into what you are. Someone who was in the room who had been in the military said, oh yes, get us all lined up and marching in the same direction whether we think it's a good idea or not. That's what formations are, right? Like, oh yeah, no. So, you know, we all bring ourselves to these conversations. So the place I'm going to end today is saying, these are all ideas. If they work for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, A, don't beat yourself up. And it's not give up right away, but don't keep trying to force yourself to do something that just isn't working. Try something else. I promise you, in the whole panoply of stuff, you can find something that works for you. And something that sounds really cool may or may not actually work in practice in your life. And if it needs to be tweaked to fit in your life, they're tweaking.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you, speaking of clergy, do you and the clergy, like in the Western New York area, have general meetings? Do you ever get together? And how
sure.
often do you do that?
Depends on when the bishop calls one.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean,
what's typical?
There is no such thing as typical. Different
okay.
bishops do it different ways.
Okay.
And that also depends on what's going on.
But you
way.
All know one another.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
We have a lot of new clergy right now, so we're rebuilding mm-hmm. relationships. We also have different groups of clergy that
mm-hmm.
get together in different ways. I have a group of clergy that get together a couple of times a year. That the only thing we have in common is that we all like each other.
Okay.
So, but we also get together in geographical regions called deaneries and... yeah, but
I met a priest from Olean, Kim
Rossi. Yes.
Rossi, yeah, wonderful yeah. woman. Mm-hmm. I have to sit next to her at mm-hmm. the mass gathering, the
mm-hmm.
last one that was held. And a wonderful woman, and the, mm-hmm. we'll talk about this another time. The mass gatherings that
yes.
I
yeah.
would like to know what mm-hmm. you foresee happening as a result of all of this planning and strategic thinking. So,
well, I will talk about that. I'm going to leave this book here. If one of you could take it back to my office when you're done looking at it, and next week we'll talk about other things you might add into your life.
Okay.